The Art of Resistance. 4 years in the French Underground. A Memoir. By Eustace Rosenberg. Read by Rob Shapiro. Parfois, l'hasard fait bien les choses. Sometimes chance itself occasions good fortune. Prologue. The street clothes placed behind the laundry pail in an unobtrusive corner of the hospital lavatory were right where they were supposed to be. I had managed to fake my way out of the Nazi internment camp by feigning agonizing stomach pains, but the last thing I expected was to have an appendectomy actually performed on my gut. The gash in my abdomen was far from healed, but I'd walked to the bathroom at the appointed moment, and now, if I could slip into the clothes the underground operative, disguised as a priest, had left for me, and if I could sashay out of the hospital without raising suspicions, the only thing I had to worry about was riding a bicycle to the halfway house in Lyon, without my intestines spilling onto the boulevard. I made it down the broad hospital stairway and out the heavy lobby doors, and the bicycle was parked by a bench just as planned. Gingerly, I mounted the saddle and coasted down the long driveway to the main road where, standing all the while with one hand on my stomach, I would hopefully pedal my way to freedom. Automobiles whizzed by me, the late summer breeze tousled my hair. But suddenly the whining crescendo of what I thought must be a police siren loomed up behind me. Had I been betrayed? Was I, after all, about to be sent back to the camp? And from there to Auschwitz? Part 1. The Free City of Danzig, 1921 to 1937. As I write this memoir, I am almost 100 years old. 98, to be exact. The first 2 years of my life are the hardest to remember. Whenever I try, I hear my parents' voices, see the contours of their faces, feel the softness of my crib. Everything else I know of my first years I picked up from stories my parents told friends and relatives about their smart son's first steps and words. The only objective evidence of my early existence are two photos of an infant sitting on a bare rug, and a birth certificate issued by the Danzig Registration Office stating that on January 23, 1921, a boy named Eustace Rosenberg was born to 19-year-old Blume Solarski, wife of businessman Jacob Rosenberg, age 23, both of the Mosaic faith, as Jewish people were commonly referred to at that time. Unless you are a stamp collector or interested in the two world wars and the period between them, you've probably never heard of Danzig, a seaport in the Baltic, for generations a bone of contention between Germans and Poles. At the Versailles Peace Conference after World War I, to reward the Poles for having supported the Allies, the League of Nations decided to grant Poland the independence it had lost in 1796, when it was partitioned between Prussia, Russia, and the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Per the Treaty of Versailles, Danzig was to be part of Poland, even though 75% of its population was ethnically and culturally German. Then, to the dissatisfaction of both the Poles and the Germans, on November 15, 1920, the League of Nations declared the disputed territory to be a semi-autonomous city-state with its own flag, national anthem, currency, and a constitution patterned after the Weimar Republic. It was to be called the Free City of Danzig, and to consist of the seaport itself and some 200 towns and villages in the surrounding area. The League appointed a neutral high commissioner to the infant parliamentary democracy to ensure that the rights of the 20% of the population who were Poles and 5% who were Jews would be respected. As the name suggested, the Free City had no...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?